All right, if you want to get your Bibles out, James chapter number 3. Read a few verses here this evening. James chapter number 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. As we read through this passage, the author here is going to remind us of how difficult it is sometimes to control our words. It says in verse 3, he's going to bring the similarity between a bit and a horse's mouth. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which, though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. He gives this illustration here, and he's talking about the dangers of our tongue and our words. It's not so much the muscle in your mouth. That's not the problem. It's the words that come out of our mouth. And that's what he's talking about. And you know, we maybe as adults or parents, we help our kids, hey, watch how you talk, you know, watch your attitude, watch. You can say the right thing with the wrong tone, and now we're in trouble, right? And sometimes we downplay the fierceness of words. And here in this passage, it brings to light how very powerful our words are. He makes the correlation between that and fire. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Fire, when controlled, is a blessing. Right now, I hope that the fire at our house is under control. We have a little metal box that we keep fire in, and it warms up our entire house. But if that thing gets out of control, well, then there's damage done. You know, so is it with us. Our words, when under control, can provide a great benefit and a blessing, but when out of control, can be like this roaring fire. I reminded of in Portland, Oregon, the entire city was reduced to ashes on July 4th, 1866, because of a stray firecracker. Little bit of fire. I mean, of course, in October 8th, 1871, the Chicago fire burned down 17,450 buildings. 250 people were killed, all because of a cow kicking over, right, a kerosene heater. Say, oh, that, well, controlled fires are right. Now, I'm not saying we take a vow of silence, but the danger of our words are significant, and that's what's drawn here. There's power in our words. And the author here wants to remind us of this and say, I've heard a message on my words. I've heard them. Yeah, but as the scripture says, it's a beast that can't be tamed. You know, we have a dog at our house, and for the most part, he's pretty tame. I mean, he's not grabbing kids by the neck and wringing them. You know, I mean, for the most part, he's been domesticated. But yesterday, we were at the zoo, and there's a very big wall of glass and fencing and to protect me from the animal. Why? Because you can't just let lions out. Someone could get hurt. Well, you know what? So is our tongue. It says that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Say, well, what's the point then? But I can keep it under control. I can mentally, if I'm reminded of the dangers of what my words can do, I can keep it under control. I just can't take my eyes off it, if you will. I just can't not address it. I got to give my words attention. Why? Because there is a negative side to our words. It's certainly in Genesis chapter number 3, what do we see? Yea, hath God said. There is a devious tongue, if you will. There are devious words. The very first words spoken in our Bible are questioning God himself. And maybe in your own words, in my Bible reading, I finished up Esther today. And man, I was taken again with that story, tremendous story, how God's provision and provides a young lady and she saves an entire nation through God's hand. But there, what did we see? Haman, the man that was causing all the trouble, he's hung from the gallows that were designed for Mordecai. Hey, be careful with your words. You intend to do harm, be careful. You may hang from those very gallows that you built for somebody else. It's a good warning to us. Be careful with your words. Do we try and justify our sin instead of confessing it? Do we twist the words of the Lord to make it say what you want? Hey, let's not be guilty of devious words. Let's not be guilty of, yea, hath God said. Did he really say, did he really mean that I should really live holy? No, let's be careful that we not have devious words. In Genesis chapter number 37, let's look there. Genesis 37, we're told of some brothers. They've done wrong. Joseph is gone and now they're returning to the father. And imagine your children go out. Brother Odell, imagine your clan goes out. You got a bunch of kids. They're playing out in the yard, and one doesn't come back. Hey, where's Caleb? He went out with you, and he didn't return. Oh, Dad, man, it was bad. There was an animal and got Caleb. That's what they lie about here. In Genesis 37 and verse 32, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without double rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes. What happened? Someone lied. They know exactly what happened. They came back and they told, hey, you know what? Why did they do that? To protect themselves. Lies are strewn together. When sin occurs, a lie is quickly to follow to cover up the sin. You see that time and time again. Hey, there is an iniquity about our tongue. It is possible if we allow that thing to take control or we don't keep it under control, we can use our tongue for devious words. We can use our tongue for lying words. John 8:32 reminds us, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They were bound by their lie. Numbers chapter number 12. There's some words that just aren't good. This probably never has happened amongst this crowd. I mean, here it is. We're in the midst of Snowmageddon, and we got ice coming, and it's a Wednesday night. Now, obviously, this group doesn't use their words deviously. Has never told a lie. Never said words that would try and find fault with another. But we know how easy that is, don't we? Hey, if left unchecked, sometimes these things just roll off so much quicker than the truth and good things. In Numbers chapter number, man, it sounds funny when you say it like that. In Numbers 12, verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, their brother, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Here they're speaking evil against Moses. They spake against him. In verse 8, With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's asking. He says, you just strung along a bunch of words and finding fault with somebody else. We can read verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Against who? Against Miriam and Aaron, because they spoke against Moses. And he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold. See, I'm sure God was understanding with that. No, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Hey, be careful that you don't go around with your words just trying to find fault with everybody. There was a judgment that happened to them. There's a lot of crazy things that are going on in this world. There's a lot of crazy things that just go on with people that you know. Not just news, just normal people, your own family, friends. Hey, be careful that you not go fault-finding with your words. Because the only point of doing that is to try and exalt your own self. And you do that by tearing somebody else down. And the Bible warns us, hey, let's be careful. Our tongue, our words, there's a real strong possibility they could be used for iniquity and wrong. It could be devious. It could be lying. It could be fault-finding. We could use our words unholy. Break promises. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Deuteronomy 23. And verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Be careful. Careful when you make a promise to God. Be careful that your tongue not be unholy. God, I promise I'm going to do right. I promise I'm going to do these things. And never make an attempt, never even try. He says, be careful. Hey, when you vow a vow to God, man, I'm thankful for our young people. I'm thankful that they have an opportunity to go to Youth Blaze this weekend. And you know what? This weekend, they might make some good decisions. Hey, let's do our best to encourage them and help them in keeping those decisions. Our tongue could be used, unfortunately, for iniquity. It could be devious. It could be lying. There could be fault-finding. It could even be unholy, where we make a promise to God and break that promise. But on the other side, we could use our words for good things too. Good things. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. There could be a sweetness about our words. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Hey, yeah, there could be times when you're using your words deviously, trying to hurt somebody, or maybe lying, or maybe even fault-finding with your own tongue and own words. But you know what? At the same time, we could do this. Be a wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. There's those words, deep waters and flowing brook. It's just refreshing is what that is. If you've ever gone to Stony Brook, and there you are, and that on a hot August day, and you touch toe to that water, and whoo-hoo, man, it is refreshing. They say it doesn't usually get higher than 65. That's cold water. But that's that brook. Hey, it's just refreshing. A wellspring to refresh. Wise counsel's refreshing, isn't it? Isn't it nice when you get some good information? Some helpful information, some godly information, some godly counsel. Hey, let's use our words for that. Hey, yeah, sure, we could tear everybody down. Or we could kindly and gently and lovingly say, can I show you what God says about that? You see the difference? Wisdom is refreshing to the ears. Wise counsel, that's a blessing. Let's use our words for that. Colossians chapter number 4. Our words can be like salt. Say, ooh, salt's no good. No, salt's good. Look at verse 6, Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Salt is preserving. Are your words preserving friendships, preserving relationships, or are they getting in there and wedging, causing problems? No, salt is, what does it say? Seasoned with salt. What does salt do? It preserves. It enhances it. It makes things. I like salt, and that's a problem. I have slightly high blood pressure, which is not good. But what does that do? It enhances flavors. You'll make something and go, oh, no, what it needs? It needs a little salt on there. And what does that do? It just makes everything. Hey, is that how your words are? Let your speech be always with grace. Are your words gracious? It's like that salt to the meal. It just makes it better. It enhances it. It preserves it. There's a value to it. Are you gracious? Are your words gracious? Or are your words cutting, like how we saw before? Hey, may the sweetness of our tongue be readily expressed. What is that? That's a wellspring to refresh, salt to preserve. Matthew 5:13, right? We are the salt of the earth. In Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, what? His mouth speaketh. See, I need to do better with my words. Do you understand that the words are a result of what's in our heart? Got a good heart, good things are going to come out of your mouth. We were at, Sarah and I were at Tops. I don't know what day it was. We'll say Monday, just for fun. I think it was Monday. Yeah, Monday. So I was going to get something else, and we have the same shopping list, so I can go get things to expedite our time at Tops. So I have the same shopping list. I'm getting a couple things over here. She's picking out the fruits and vegetables. I'm not allowed to do that. And so she's over there, and she's talking to this lady, and this lady has a cart full of stuff, and in her cart was lots and lots of fruits and vegetables. Lots of fruits and vegetables. And they're already in conversation, and I come up, and I'm at the end of the conversation, and I say hello, and she was very nice, and Sarah brought to my attention, look at all the fruits and vegetables. I said, that's wonderful. And the lady said, she goes, we're just trying to live forever. And Sarah was already walking away, and I said, okay, well, have a nice day, you know. And she looks at me just like how I said on Sunday. She goes, you missed another opportunity right there. She tells me that. Here we are on Tops. I said, bless God. So I take my cart over, and I go meet her over by the garlic. And I had a gospel tract right in my pocket. I said, you know, ma'am, I said, you mentioned eternal life and living forever. I said, do you know that you can know that for sure? And she goes, actually, I do. She goes, I'm a believer. She goes, I don't go to church, but I do know that for sure. And I got to give her a gospel tract, and I don't know where she was in all that. When that stuff's on the inside, it just comes out. And that's how it should be, right? But if we're not watching for that, if we don't have control of our tongue, if we're not constantly looking for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel, we're going to miss opportunities. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. It's a wellspring to refresh. It's a salt to preserve. It's a treasure to enrich. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And we're almost done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That's not just action, those are also words. A treasure to enrich. We can comfort one another. Now we exhort you. What is that? I lift you up. Hey, we saw, what was the other? Fault-finding, lying, devious, unholy. You know what that is? That's the exact opposite of exhorting. That's not lifting up, that's tearing down. But he says, now we exhort you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. How are you with your words? Are you patient? Are you gracious? The Bible tells us that our words are like sweet like honey. And our words can be used to praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16, and we'll conclude. 1 Chronicles 16. The only person we have to blame for what we say is us. Well, they just push me to the limit. You ought to control that thing. Anybody struggle with that? Okay, good. All right. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 16:23. Look at what we can use for our words. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, and show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Hey, that's what we could do with our words. We can sing unto the Lord. We can declare his glory among the heathen. We can tell about the wonderful things God has done. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. The sweetness of our words. It's a wellspring to refresh, it's a salt to preserve, it's a treasure to enrich. They're sweet like honey, and it gives us the ability to praise the Lord. So are your words like swords? Or are they that comfort? One cuts, and one mends. Hey, be careful with what you say, and be careful with how you say it. I've read James 3, and yeah, I feel like it's something that we should remind ourselves of regularly. Because that mouth, if not checked, oh, it could do a lot of good, but at the same time, it could cause a lot of hurt. And we don't want that amongst the body. Isn't that what it said? Go back to James chapter number 3. The context. In verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. Hey, we don't want to hurt one another. Let's remember that. Let's be an encouragement and a help and exhort one another. Let's all stand. Sounds like it's getting a little dicey out there, so please be careful in your travels home. Drive carefully, slowly. And take your time. No rush, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. And God, thank you for what a great example you are to us in this. As we study your word and we see how you spoke to others. And God, thank you. Thank you that we could look to that for wisdom and guidance. Lord, I pray you'd watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. Bring us back safely. Lord, bless Youth Ablaze tomorrow. And God, use the preachers and the singing, and God, may that time there forever change the course of some young people. Lord, again, thank you for the faithful churches that come and participate in that. Lord, bless that. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.